We've got a lot to talk about over the next hour, including health care, the landscape, the health care landscape here in the state of Connecticut. And it seems as if it's constantly changing. That said, there are three area hospitals that have completed their merger to form the Western Connecticut Health Network. And now the new network is doing what you do when you come up with a new identity. They're launching an identity campaign and logo to reflect their combined care philosophy. That said, joining us today on Front and Center to talk about the future of Connecticut hospitals is Dr. Andrew Keller, who is Chief Medical Officer at Western Connecticut Medical Group. And Dr. Keller, welcome to Front and Center.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here today.
First, Dr. Keller, how about telling us about the Western Connecticut Health Network?
So, Western Connecticut Health Network, it's a patient-centered health organization. It's first anchored by three hospitals, Danbury, New Milford Hospital, and Norwalk Hospital. But it also has 63 offices with over 350 physicians and providers in multiple networks scattered throughout Fairfield County and Litchfield County.
So I'm guessing this makes for better accessibility. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. And it's uniform accessibility. So if you get treated one place, you know, the treatment at the other place is very much the same, so that it's consistent. And that's the important part about an integrated network. It's consistent health care that really drives to improve outcome.
What about the reasons for the merger? How about talking about that, Doctor?
Well, in the current, you know, fiscal state and also in the current healthcare environment, there's a, just across the United States, there's a lot of hospitals and physicians that are joining together to form integrated healthcare networks and faced with the same challenges that other institutions have. We joined ourselves together in the same reason to integrate healthcare, to deliver affordable cost, be able to negotiate our prices in competitive ways. And at the end of the day, we're looking at being able to save anywhere between $19 and $20 million for the entire healthcare system just by reducing our overhead and costs.
That's a huge savings, Doctor.
Well, it is, and it's important because the margins that we have are small for healthcare. It's not large.
And when you say negotiate lower prices, you're talking across the board from medical and surgical supplies to food services even?
To food services, to laundry, waste management. Plus, it also helps us to be a little bit more competitive in terms of making sure that we negotiate fair rates for the care of our patients.
How about the new branding campaign? How about talking about that?
So our new campaign is really it's centered on personalized care, really without compromise. Our tagline is "We Know You Well," which really personalizes our healthcare experience. That's relating to having the patient at the center of everything we do. This campaign really drives our work in many ways, and it makes us committed to a healthier and happier community, with programs not only really to treat heart disease and to treat other disease, cancer, lung disease, but also prevent it through education, screening, and healthy living, which is very important.
How about the campaign? How does it relate to consumers who are seeking out health care today?
So it's interesting what's happened to health care in the last several years. Very much like the way one selects restaurants or hotels if you travel, consumers now are becoming more involved in the selection of their health care plans and treatment. And the term is crowdsourcing, so that many of the health care decisions that people make are frequently preceded by going to the internet, searching, or using apps on their phone. So with that, the consumer becomes more informed, and also a larger decision part in terms of where he or she is seeking out health care. So it does make for an important component of a decision, and it's important to know that for our consumers that we're here, and that's one of the reasons that in terms of marketing ourselves and presenting ourselves, we want to make sure that consumers are aware of us.
You know, I was talking to the owner of a computer business the other day, doctor, and he was explaining how he can help particular offices make sure they're proactive with their computers to prevent major breakdowns rather than reactive. I'm guessing that we should look at our health the same way, that we should think about a well-care relationship rather than a sick-care relationship. Can you address that?
Dan, that's a good point. In terms of one of the other shifts that have occurred in the healthcare industry in the last probably 10 years is a transition away from, if you're sick or you're ill, we'll take care of you, to an entity called Population Health Management, where we're really trying to reach out to patients or people, actually, before they become ill, to reduce the incidence of heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, as time goes on. As a matter of fact, for many of the patients who are insured by commercial payers throughout Connecticut, many of them probably have never seen their primary care physician and have never established a relation with their primary care physician. And in our own environment, we know that close to 20,000 patients and perhaps more that we are personally taking care of have not come in to see a primary care physician and have not even been assigned to a primary care physician. So a lot of what we're doing is really trying to reach out now to these people to make sure that they come in and see a physician at least once a year, or perhaps if they're very, very healthy, once every other year, but at least develop that relationship now so the physician can go through their health inventory, make sure that they're eating correctly, make sure they're not smoking, make sure that they're exercising, their weight's under control, they don't have hypertension, and so on, really to try to prevent disease rather than focusing on treating disease once it occurs.
Doctor, could you imagine what a country this would be if each of us walked a half hour a day?
That's a great point. And every time you open the newspaper, Dan, there's another way that people have shown that even small amounts of exercise make a profound difference in well-being, healthcare, energy, and, you know, longevity and overall health. There was just an article, I think, in the New York Times yesterday or the day before about an exercise program of just short bursts of energy for even 8 minutes a day can make a significant difference compared to being sedentary. So there is an important relationship between exercise and how you feel. So you're right. If you walked a half hour a day, or frankly, even if you just did 10 minutes of exercise, maybe it can make a difference.
Talking with Dr. Andrew Keller, he is the chief medical officer of the Western Connecticut Medical Group. And we're talking about the Western Connecticut Health Network, which includes Danbury Hospital, New Milford Hospital, Norwalk Hospital, plus various offices, etc. Doctor, what are some of the benefits people being more engaged in their health and wellness produce?
You know, it's critically important. First of all, if you are sick, being engaged improves compliance. You have a greater understanding of what the issues are with your health care, the issues that your doctor is concerned about. And working together as a team and team-based health care is pretty much the norm now. So the expectation really is that patients do understand what the issues are. Physicians and healthcare providers do spend more time explaining the issues and really trying to involve the patient. This helps things such as not just medication, but also improves diet response, exercise response, helps with stress management. It helps tremendously with people's family, their children, their wives, their husbands, involving them as well and being very supportive, and being very open about whatever condition exists. So it's almost critical now that patients are more involved. Actually, there was an interesting study done something about 10 or years ago or so that patients who had surgery and were in the intensive care unit did better when there was a family member in the room with them most of the time rather than no one there at all. We don't really understand why that is the case, but we know that involved family has a tremendous impact on the outcome of patients' lives and how they do.
Essentially, it involves a lifestyle change, doesn't it?
It does. It involves a lifestyle change, but it also involves a cultural change because, you know, it's different for many people. The expectation of being involved and being a decision maker in healthcare is something that's not necessarily immediately accepted by everybody. But it does, you know, it develops a more proactive approach so that both family and patients themselves can work together to really try to get a better outcome.
Now, you said something before, more than 10,000 in Western Connecticut, that's just the western part of the state, do not have a designated primary care provider. What should those people do?
So we're reaching out to them now because we actually know who some of them are because they're insured through policies that we have worked with. But my recommendation would be is if you're out there, you're in Fairfield or Litchfield County, you've not seen a primary care physician, contact someone in your area, in your community that's a primary care physician and make an appointment and visit. It may be for naught, but on the other hand, it may pick up an important issue that, left alone or not treated, might have some devastating outcome.
You also talked before about how patients are more informed, and we know about the internet, but what can we believe and not believe if we get something off of a website?
So I always tell my patients pretty much the same thing, Dan, which is you have to be careful what you read because you don't know who's been posting. So my recommendation to them is pretty much always go to the sites that the United States government puts together. So those are, .gov sites. The NIH, National Institute of Health, has a fantastic website, and there's also a PubMed, PubMed.gov, which has just far-reaching patient-centered information that can be extremely useful for patients. So my recommendation is always stick to that site because for good or for bad, you at least know who wrote it and the information is valid.
We'll get back to a couple of more questions about the network, but Doctor, I always like to ask our guests, why did they choose a particular career? Why did you choose to become a doctor?
Ah, that's a great question. So I've sort of always been interested in the sciences. I was a physics major, actually, when I first started, and I always was very interested in how things work, and I gravitated actually primarily to cardiac disease and heart disease. I'm a cardiologist by training, and I found that the education that I had in physics and mathematics actually were very important to the evaluation and management of heart disease. That's where I ended up.
What is the best advice you could give people for being heart healthy?
Don't smoke.
Don't smoke. That's
two words, very
wow.
Simple. And if you smoke, quit. It's without question probably the most important cause of heart disease is smoking.
If you quit smoking, can you reverse the damage done to the heart?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's various studies that have looked at that, but for the most part, most of us think that after 2 years of not smoking, you pretty much return to the same longevity of someone that has never smoked in their life beforehand. Now, that's not necessarily the case with lung disease, but certainly for heart disease, that is the case.
That's a pretty good investment when you think about it, 2 years down the road.
Well, it is, and the other investment is the however much a pack of cigarettes costs per day. You can use that to do, I've had several patients who quit smoking and used it just to take travel to places that they've never been to before.
That's a win-win to me, doctor.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to get back again to the Western Connecticut Health Network because it involves Danbury Hospital, New Milford Hospital, and Norwalk Hospital, but there's also a network. So how about repeating that network to our audience again?
So the network is, the internet site for us is actually the new WCHN.org, and our network involves not only our three hospitals, but 63 offices throughout Fairfield County from Litchfield, Kent, all the way down to Norwalk, to Westport, and Fairfield, Wilton, Ridgefield, Newtown, pretty much virtually anywhere you are along the Route 7 corridor, you're going to find one of our offices where we're there to serve you. Our network also involves a relatively complex electronic health record so that if you go into one office, they'll have your records from being treated at another office. so that there's a great continuity of care, which brings me obviously to the point that it's always better to come on into our office and see one of us if you can, as opposed to going to an emergency room or going to an urgent health care center, because we have your records, even if you're not seeing the doctor that's seen you for that for the past.
And the tagline for the new branding campaign is, "We know you well."
We know you well. Absolutely, Dan.
And the website one more time, please.
Thenewwchn.org.
Anything else you'd like to add, Doctor?
Dan, no. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the air with you and your listeners.
Well, we thank you very much, and thank you for being a guest on Front and Center.
You have a great day.
You too.